Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Seven touch of phenomena.
I really enjoyed it.
Seven touch of phenomena.
For you to do that.
E1-2.
I think it's a load of old paddywhack. Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name's Beef. I'll be your host this evening. Sat opposite the table, as always, are my lovely co-host. Say hello, Tissy.
Hi.
Say hello, Bob Shoy.
Hello, Bob Shoy.
We've never done that, old gag on the show before.
That's because it's a terrible old gag.
Hey, it works. Stick with what's good.
Stick to what you know. It does work well. It's fine.
I'm back.
You guys doing all right? Yeah. Yeah. Good weeks?
Busy, tiring week.
Yeah. I really enjoyed. I listened to our sea shanty from
last
time.
Oh, you listened to it?
Yeah, it was good fun. Yeah.
I was really, I got to say, I had a really fun time putting that show together. Researching was fun, because I like looking at the ocean. And then recording was fun. And then editing it was really fun. It wasn't like a slog.
Yeah.
It was fun to edit.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it was good.
So I had a good old time.
I'll have a whale of time.
Oh, before we push on.
Yeah.
I do just want to say, because we forgot to mention it last week. On the Full Moon episode, we asked everyone to say, what was the first day of the week?
Yeah.
Sunday or Monday?
We've got an answer, right?
And everyone went on Facebook and weighed in.
Yeah.
And it was almost unanimous that Monday was the first day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those people are just...
There was three people who said that it was actually Sunday.
You're all wrong.
Regardless of what everyone says, they're all wrong. Sunday's first day of the
week. It really is.
They're all right.
Laura said it was Sunday.
Even Craig David says it's on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Took her for a drink on Sunday. No, wait, that might be Monday.
Now it's Monday.
It's Tuesday. So would you guys like to see what we're going to talk about this week?
See what we're talking about?
Do you like to see what we're going to talk about this week?
Yeah, is it about the sea?
Oh, is it the ocean part 3?
Bermuda Triangle.
It's not the Bermuda Triangle.
Taunton Dean.
This is the Bridgewater Triangle.
What is the Bridgewater Triangle? I've never heard of it.
No, neither had I until this afternoon.
Oh.
Ooh.
This is very... No. So this is in...
This is America.
It's in the south of
the
France.
The state of Massachusetts.
Right.
Massachusetts.
By the way, I should... When we get something visual, we really should...
Oh, yeah.
Beef's given us a map, and he's drawn a triangle on the map.
So...
Taunton's right in the middle.
Well, it is, but it's kind of... The main... So, I mean, really, they should have made it a square and put Freetown Fall River State... Can you see in the bottom of the triangle? Because that's kind
Freetown
of...
Freetown State Forest.
Yeah, that's where a lot of what we're going to talk about goes on. But I saw this today, and it kind of piqued my interest.
Okay.
Because it involves... And the reason I'm kind of taking a risk is because it involves pretty much a lot of what we've talked about before.
Okay.
But it really interested me that so much happens in a concentrated area.
Okay.
So the Bridgewater Triangle... kind of involves three or four main areas where we see an awful lot of phenomena.
Right.
So it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle on land. So
it's almost like a land follow.
What, like the ships sink
on land? Yeah,
the cars just crash.
Yeah. This is like a landlubber version of last week's episode.
Yeah.
So
happens a little bit of seeing.
Yeah. So the Bridgewater Triangle was a phrase coined by a guy called Lauren Coleman, who wrote a book in 1983 called Mysterious America.
Because it's got Bridgewater in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Taunton's in the centre of it.
I don't think it's got anything to do with
Taunton it being...
It's just totally coincidental that it's in the middle of the triangle.
Okay.
It doesn't really mean anything. It? Well, who knows? It's not. but Tis... Just so that Tis can understand, the area that it covers is 200 square miles.
How many
double-decker buses is it? A lot.
Oh, you could have got me.
I really thought he'd done the math. He had the
stat. I did Google it and it didn't.
Couldn't be bothered.
For the record, I was never going to Google how many double-decker buses anything I talk about is.
But yeah, you tried on last week, and it went off on like, that was another massive tangent I had to cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe so, if people donate, we can hear that tangent.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. Don't forget to bring that up.
So, yeah, like I say, it covers an awful lot of what we I don't think really, if you're a long-term listener and you've kind of been with us from the beginning, it will involve a lot that you're familiar with. Hopefully a couple of interesting new things, and it's just a bit of fun, to be honest.
When you say phenomena...
Yeah, phenomena.
Phenomena.
It's a nice word to say. Yeah.
When you say phenomena, do you mean... Is it all sorts of phenomena?
Yeah, we get... Do you want me to tell you...
Is it aliens?
There's some alien stuff.
Something like a
there's
phenomena.
There's some cryptid stuff.
Cryptid stuff.
There's some ghostly stuff.
Oh, it's all sorts.
This is Weird Tales.
There's loads of stuff going on.
I'm just going to call this episode Weird Tales.
Live from Bridgewater.
Live in Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Should we say we're recording live in Bridgewater?
Live from Bridgewater!
What's the main landscape in Bridgewater, in the Bridgewater Triangle? Sea?
So it's mainly just like plain land, I think. And then, so there's like a forest, as you can see in the corner.
Oh, I'm just thinking after I put all that sea sound effects last week, if we're recording
live
from Bridgewater.
Oh, right, if we could have like...
I'm going to all that.
Well, I guess you'd get some...
My episodes.
I guess you get some animals, maybe, and...
Your episode's, like, no. Shiny, all the little bits in there. Oh,
so long.
Like...
So, I tried to make it, because it involves a lot of stuff that we're aware of already, I tried to make it a bit interesting. I've kind of incorporated a little bit of competition to see how good your memories are.
We love competitions on this show.
Is it us versus
each other?
It'll
be you guys versus each other.
Going down, boy.
However, I kind of forgot the prize, because, you know, running out of the house and all that.
Yeah.
It was only going to be a beer. But I wanted to make it seem like there was going
to
be something. Yeah, yeah. But
I'm actually going to really compete.
I left it in my fridge, but I'll bring it for the next recording.
Bloody hell.
I did tell you. I said I'd forgotten
it. I didn't hear that.
But the Bridgewater Triangle is made up of, like I say, four main locations where many residents see a lot of different activities, and you get lots of different sightings, different things, stories... even murders and things like that. There's all sorts of stuff going on. So we've got a lot of activity from, like I said, the Freetown Fall River State Forest.
Yeah, I can see that's big. Big green patch on the map.
That's it. And then the Hockomock Swamp, which I think is, I think that's where that watery...
There's a few watery patches.
I think if we zoomed in on Google Maps, we should be able to see it. It also involves, if you look at the very top of the point of the triangle, you'll see Abington.
Yeah.
And then the left point should be...
Rehoboth,
yeah. And like I say, there's been all sorts
probably
of...
probably this swampland here.
Yes, I think so. I think that's...
So we've got there, the four main...
There's four main points, but the triangle's been kind of growing and growing. Over the years, so they just realised that as they
as the, anything the weird that happens, like they just like expand the triangle.
Just the world,
yeah.
So, if you join us on episode 200,
weird stuff happens in the fucking space of the
top of the point goes up to Enfield, London.
yeah.
So in this envelope,
incorporates
I've got some pieces of paper that I've cut up. And you guys are just going to pick it out, and it will be a topic for discussion.
Okay.
That it'll be something we've talked about before on an episode. And the competition
this is one of the greatest hits.
The competition is what will be for you guys to see if you can tell me what episode we talked about this topic.
Oh my god.
Are you going to guess the episodes?
Yeah. Number three, number station.
There are a couple that I reckon you might be able to do, and there's a couple that double up as well.
Okay.
So
what about if we get it right within like one?
I think I could probably give it right within two.
Okay.
Would be
Ooh,
fair.
That's all right. Okay.
That makes it a bit easier, right?
Yeah,
I thought that was quite fair.
Might get a couple.
So the only problem is there's an odd number of topics,
okay.
But it won't matter. It just means that
you
one of you is going to pick.
One.
Oh yeah, okay. So
the last one doesn't count because it's the last one.
Yeah, it doesn't mean.
Also, if you're a new listener and you like the idea of some of these. And Beef tells you what we talked about this stuff on before. It gives you a good point to go back to. And I want to listen to that episode.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, if you're joining us for the first time, this is kind of like Greatest Hits. And you'll be able to go back and see what else we've talked about.
Wow.
Not
what I was expecting tonight. This is fun.
Now that's what I call a Weird Tales.
Yeah.
So who wants to
Now that's
to
what I call
first?
Weird Tales, episode number 85. The Bridgewater Triangle. 85? This is 85, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
85.
Yeah.
15 more for the tattoos.
To that tattoo tats.
So donate, Patreon, we need some tattoo money.
Yeah, we really do. Or I don't get a tattoo. So you should be able to tell me what the topic is if
right,
you open it
I've
up.
Just pulled a piece of paper out of the envelope, and oh, it's a little picture of a flying saucer.
Uh-huh.
So straight in there.
Straight in. So, yeah, so they see an awful lot of UFOs in Bridgewater, in Raynham and in Taunton. So Taunton does feature.
Oh, Taunton. I thought you said Taunton wasn't relevant.
Well, it's kind of...
Apparently it's like...
So all this northern part of the triangle, basically, you got UFO stuff.
Yeah.
Freeze, we'll call it Niangle, north of the triangle.
Yeah, okay.
So, so like I say, we get an awful lot of sightings all the way back to 1908.
1908? That was the first UFO sighting.
Yeah, so...
Aliens were building the UFOs in 1908.
They built the pyramids, mate.
Wow. That rhymes.
In 1808.
In 1777.
So what we're going to do is, I'm just going to give you a bit of information, and then I tried to, there's quite a lot, so the documentary I'm taking this information from is on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
If you're on Prime, it'll be free. If you're not on Prime, you can download it, you can just watch it straight off Amazon for like a quid, like... A couple of dollars, or I don't know how much.
What's
it is.
The name of the doc?
It is just called the Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh,
And if you go through it, you'll see an awful lot of. There's quite a lot of different stories of all of these things. You'll find different accounts. I tried to find one that was slightly different to some of the stuff we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, purposefully, because I didn't want to try and go over stuff that we've, you know, just repeat stuff. So I found one account. Of two police deputies. They were police deputies at the time in the 70s, and they both were out walking together and saw this UFO in 1979. But apparently their police department was absolutely littered with sightings in the 70s.
Okay.
Let me just
littered
put this
with sightings.
Littered.
Load of rubbish again.
right, so...
The spring of 1979 proved to be the most active period of documented UFO sightings in the history of the Bridgewater Triangle region. A number of news outlets and law enforcement agencies were flooded with reports of large, low-flying UFOs. During that time, former WHDH reporters Jerry Lopes and Steve Sprazia claimed to have witnessed what is arguably the most famous UFO sighting to occur within the Bridgewater Triangle.
Jerry Lopes and I worked at WHDH Radio, and we were heading down to the Raynham Dog Track, and when we got off 24 onto 106, I noticed this really bright light over the tree line, and the light was coming closer and closer and getting bigger and bigger. And I remember saying to Jerry, "What is that over there?" So we pulled his vehicle over, and all of a sudden the stars blotted out in the shape of an arrow as this thing passed overhead.
Ironically, I'm a big baseball fan. It looked like a baseball home plate, and there were a series of lights on it.
And it was very, very wide. Perhaps the width of now, we'd say, 5747 wing to wing.
It looked like it had a little cord or something hanging off it, and sparks were coming off of it. I almost felt like I could throw a rock at the thing. It seemed that close to me.
This was pretty much the shape of it. And this thing passed overhead like this. What... for me, what first attracted me was this, this light that kind of came into our field of vision, just like that. And as this thing passed overhead, it just kept coming and coming and coming, and the light kept getting bigger and bigger.
I'm an Air Force veteran. I've been in the Air Force for 4.5 years. I've been around a number of different planes, and I said to Steve, that's not one of ours. And it just hovered there for a minute. It looked like it was over a little bit of a field, and the next thing you know, it just kind of just took off.
We continued on to the dog track, and most of the conversation that evening was, what did we see? Up to that point, I had been 100% skeptic. I thought anybody who ever saw these things, they were either crazy or publicity hounds, or there was just something wrong with them in their head altogether. What I didn't realize at the time was that a lot more people had seen it than just Jerry and I.
Interestingly, over the course of the next week, there were a series of spottings, different sightings. It was reported in the papers, reported on the radio station, and at that point, Steve and I decided to come forward and say, you know, hey, you know, we actually saw something.
A couple of days later, an article appears in the Brockton Enterprise. And not only does it have interviews with Jerry and I, but quite a number of other folks in and around the Randolph area who had seen it, but they've got the staff artist take all of our recollections and put together a drawing, an artist's rendition, which looked pretty much like this. And it's like, whoa. I keep looking up because even to this day, as I look up, I can imagine I can see the darn thing. It made that much of an impression on me.
I saw what I saw. I reported what I saw. And I've moved on.
Wow.
Yeah, so what did you boys think to that? Was it
when their pictures appeared on screen?
They were super airbrushed.
They looked like sort of like a pair of cops that I want to watch a TV series about.
Yeah, like Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the only one that I kind of... Oh, there are quite a few. If you watch the documentary, like I say, it's on Amazon Prime. I would recommend watching it. It's a fun watch.
What shape would you explain?
It was kind of like a... Is it a trapezium where it's got like a square bum, like a square bottom?
Like a house. And then... I call it a house shape.
Yeah, kind of like... Yeah, a house. Yeah, exactly.
The way a child would draw a house.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So
a light on the tip of the triangle at the top.
Yeah, and they said they had lights kind of around the edge as well. So I don't know what I make to those guys. I feel like
they seemed a little bit glitzy, didn't they? Like they were I don't know, I don't want to call them liars.
Yeah,
they seemed like honest, but they also seemed quite showman-y.
Well, you guys can watch the documentary in full and make your own mind, but yeah, so that's UFOs.
So that's the famous UFO sighting.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably the most famous one.
There's been loads.
If you watch through the documentary, there are others, but they're very similar to ones that we talked about before, and it's kind of the same thing. Like, I saw this, and I saw that, and, you know, they're kind of describing the same thing. That, like, that's the one that stood out to me as a different shape to...
Can I ask you a question about how I get points?
Go on.
Well, if it's a subject that we've talked about on the show lots, it's going to be easier for me. Because there's multiple Aliens episodes.
Yeah, there's only a couple where we talk about UFOs. So I'm not including the ones where we talk about aliens.
Right, okay.
So
the one, Laura's one would be a UFO one. Could we talk about, she talked about going on the UFO.
Yeah, that's one I've noted down. So I've actually got three different episode numbers that
I've got a really strong punt at what I think the episode of Laura was.
Okay. Do you want to take a first punt?
46.
Okay. Tis, do you want to have a go? I just realised I should get like a pencil or something to like make a note of this.
I can do a tally here if you want.
Alright, that'd be awesome.
I'm gonna go 42.
Ooh, okay. So yours was 46, and that you reckon that was Laura's.
I reckon episode. That's the one that had Laura on it.
You're bang on.
Bang on. Do you know how I just knew it was a few before 50?
Yeah.
I knew it was on the leading up to episode 50. Because it was the summer of blockbusters, boys.
Bob knows every one of these numbers, I bet.
No, I just remember that.
I wouldn't bet on that.
No, I'll tell you, I almost feel like I should only have half a point for that. Because this week, we got a new listener. And they first one they listened to was one with Laura.
Right.
And they were like, oh my God, I love that episode. It was so interesting. I would love to get in contact with Laura.
Yeah.
So I hooked the Laura and this new listener up because he wanted to talk something about aliens with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said in that message, episode 46. So it's stuck in my head because that was in like the day before yesterday.
Yeah, what do you think, Tiff? Do you think half point four?
No, because if you know it, you know it.
It's yeah, like, but it's just
he wants to be a millionaire.
That's completely.
Oh,
luck,
I knew it, by the way. Oh, well, you only get half the money.
Okay, yeah, but there might be other ones that. If I look at the other topics that we're going to go through.
Let's be honest, the only ones I'm going to get are the ones that I have seen recently. Like, that's how memory works. You're not cheating if you remember, yeah, because you've seen it recently.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of, unless you do, like, the ocean, where I've been, like, well, last week.
I just wanted to...
Like, I know, bang on what it is.
Yeah.
Or just... number stations, number three.
Yeah, number three.
I just thought that...
from Maputo?
Number one.
Oh.
I just figured if we... because we often talk about episodes and, you know, normally when I repeat myself, you say, oh, we talked about that on episode 13.
You
seem to remember, I was like, I see how much...
What other episodes were the aliens for new listeners?
So I counted Area 51.
Yeah. Oh, 51.
Which is episode 51.
Oh, we could have got that one so easy.
And episode 30, which is, we were talking about sightings, I think. I haven't got iTunes up and I didn't write down which one it was. Episode 30 would have been...
That might have... Proof of Aliens.
I think it was Proof of Aliens. That was yours, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We've all done an Alien one. I did Aliens, you did Proof, he did Area 51.
Did I prove that aliens existed?
You got together the evidence that you found most compelling that proved they existed.
Yeah, they do exist.
And your number one was Phoenix Lights.
Oh yeah, Phoenix Lights.
Yeah.
And so that was been talking about seeing them when he went up.
Yeah, that's
So that was UFOs.
That's really good on.
For some of these, there's going to be more than one thing that we're going to look at. I tried really hard to not make it really video heavy,
right?
And I'm going to try not to. And the videos we're going to put into this episode are only a few minutes at a time, or like 2 minutes or something. So go and watch it. Tis, do you want to pick a topic?
Come on, mate, coin in the pudding.
Coin
the pudding.
Paper in the envelope.
This is two. Next one.
Okay. Have a look at the picture and tell me what you think it is.
Come on, tell him what
it's
like.
It's like the mummy in the sand from the Mummy film. And it's like singing. So is that Imhotep? Is that what it is?
Imhotep.
Is it synesthesia?
No.
Is
no.
it. What would it be synesthesia? Is it.
Is it spooky sounds?
It might be something to do with spooky sounds.
What's his name? Fucking EIGs.
Phantom of the Opera.
No. What's the EMGs? EMTs?
EVPs.
EVPs.
Is it EVP?
It's EVP.
Oh. Boom!
Oh, yes! Ah! I'm already trying to remember what episode I did EVP on. I have no idea.
Do I get a point for that?
Oh, I don't know. I'll come back to it.
No. come back to it. Yeah, definitely remember
that. yeah, so when I was watching this, and they started talking about EVP, that... basically, they've had some guys go to Palmer River, which I don't know if you'd be able to find on the map.
Palmer River?
I believe it's the main body of water near the forest in the bottom.
Oh, this big bit here.
One that's like England?
No, this big bit here.
No, that bit down the bottom.
Oh, the way that's the big river.
Yeah.
So it'd be the loop.
I believe that's it.
Okay.
We're going to play video in a sec, but I when they started talking about EVP, from our previous experiences,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really holding my breath. But having watched some of this stuff...
Is this clear, speaking?
It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear, and obviously we can't talk to them. We weren't there, so we can't verify it. So,
so we're listening to this.
We're going to listen to it.
Because when I did that EVP episode, I remember listening to all the clips at home and being like, oh, these are so creepy. And then when I played them to you guys, you laughed the whole way through.
Right, we're going to pay attention to one first.
Remember that everyone was like, nah, rubs.
Yeah.
So I won't tell you, they're obviously going to explain what you should be hearing.
Right.
So you should be able to just hear it, so pay attention.
On two separate occasions, did EVP sessions in the cemetery. One investigator got what sounded like a woman dancing around her, just saying, la, 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 la. Yeah. And she found it very interesting because at the time she made the recording,
interesting.
Absolutely no ambient sound.
Interesting.
Two parts interesting to 5 parts scared.
Listen again.
Ooh.
The other investigator
fuck.
Was there in the.
That, you know, I talked about on that Haunted Cemeteries one when something's creepy makes my eyes water.
Yeah,
that made my eyes water.
Really?
Yeah,
I love when they're like, she found it interesting.
I would find
it. If I heard that, that I wouldn't think that was interesting.
2 parts interesting to 5 parts scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. That's clear, right?
That's creepy. Good. La, 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 la. The thing is, we're listening to it thinking like small child dancing in the forest.
Yeah.
But, you know, that could be a weird bird song.
Do it again.
Me too.
Sometimes birds have a real specific change.
It's all right for you to do that.
I don't know, it's not very bird-like, is it?
Because you can hear birds tweeting over it as well.
Yeah, right? Birds are a lot more of a high pitch than that.
That is weird. That is weird.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can... I was trying to find the exact story of... So they've called her the Singing Lady of Palmer River. The only slight snippet of information I could find about her, because they don't really talk about her in the documentary too much.
Oh, I'm shivering.
Is like, it's very close to graveyards. So they have an enormous amount of graveyards in the area. With, like, so apparently when people...
Can you imagine if they found one grave and had like a girl's name on, no one knew who it was, and the epitaph just said la 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 la.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know what I say about graveyards though?
Ghosts.
Those dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I often think as dead people in cemeteries, yeah.
Yeah.
But they the only snippet of information I could find was that she, like, some people have apparently gone to a cemetery near the river and been able to see a woman like combing her hair on a grave.
Ooh. A bit like that picture from that place near Chicago. That woman, woman sitting on the bench.
Kinda like that. So not in a threatening way, but still creepy, right?
Yeah, they called her that, the Madonna of whatever the graveyard was.
The Madonna?
Yeah.
The pre-Madonna.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play another one.
Oh, there's another one?
Oh, fucking hell.
Is it worse?
It's not worse. This one's not not as creepy.
Killed it. Not worse.
It's not as creepy, but it's still really weird. Okay. So this is a different
couple. These are better than the ones I played on my EVP episode.
Okay, well, again, I won't tell you what it is.
Known for alleged ghostly hauntings.
Oh my god, that's so
clear. We've
done
several investigations here in East Bridgewater. We've done the East Bridgewater Public Library, the East Bridgewater Town Hall, where there was also a lot of activity. We've also done the Carver Cotton Gin, which we've gotten...
I'd forgotten about this picture. So this is a picture they've been able to get whilst doing their experiments, and if you can see that.
Oh.
Apparently you can see, you can just about make
head,
out...
Head, body, feet. Legs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we'll put this on the website, but that's a person, isn't it? And it's quite, it's clear enough for you to think... Mm.
Head, body, legs. Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not going to blow your mind. It's not going to blow your lid. But,
blow your wig. Just going to blow your wig off.
Okay, so we'll carry on.
2 photographs with full body apparitions in them.
The town also serves as the backdrop for East Bridgewater's Most Haunted, an internet-based television show hosted by paranormal researcher Ann Kerrigan and EVP specialist Mike Markowitz, who in 2009 published EVP, Electronic Voice Phenomenon, Massachusetts Ghostly Voices.
One of the more interesting investigations that I've done with my group, East Bridgewater's Most Haunted, was a house on North Central Street in East Bridgewater. It's a historical home and date back to the early 1800s, I believe, a member of the Keith family.
While we were in there, one of the investigators was upstairs, Ann Kerrigan, and she smelled roses, which is one of the things that the family said that they could smell.
That perfume hit me full in the face, like someone was standing there wearing it.
And as she was explaining this, I had microphones set up and a mixing board and everything. I had the whole house recording. This gunshot rang out.
Upstairs, I smelled roses.
Yeah.
Like that. Now, I just peeked in whoever's room is. You have a big candle on the bureau?
Yeah, it just went right over my voice, not heard by anybody who was in the room.
When you play that back and you play that, it's absolutely amazing, this loud gunshot. You can even hear it reverberate in the room. It's really a tremendous, tremendous recording. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I smell roses. Yeah. Like that. Now, I just peeked in whoever's room is
Yeah, you
have a big candle on the bureau,
yeah,
but it's great.
What do you reckon to that?
He knocked the microphone.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because if I knocked this microphone like this, No, that didn't sound like anything in the room, but I bet the people listening, I bet you heard a big clang just then. Although that, on his recording, the first time I heard it, I thought, someone knocked the microphone. Mm. Second time I heard it, I thought, well, it does sound like a gunshot. Mm. It sounded like a cartoon gunshot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Yosemite Sam would have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Recommendation of the week, Yosemite Sam.
those classic cartoons.
Yosemite Sam.
So the first one was pretty creepy. Recommendation
of the week, the Yosemite Sam number station. That was one where it just had Yosemite Sam like speaking on the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was horrible.
That's what I was actually thinking of, yeah.
Recommendation of the week, episode 3, number stations. I get 1 point. Only a little snippet, but I thought they were worth our attention. The la 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 one.
That's creepy.
Horrible, right?
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, and particularly when you think about the image of her on her grave. And
yeah.
That's the only thing I could find about it.
Might put that at the beginning of the show, like,
yeah.
The sound.
Yeah, exactly. Do either of you guys want to hazard a guess what episode we...
Kiss, you go first. You pulled the thing. There's two EVP episodes.
There are two EVP episodes.
There's one we talk about it, and there's the experiment.
Uh-huh. So you can have... There's two you can...
I actually don't know for this. I know you're taking a...
Mate, I would be just as hopeless at this if it was
68.
Me.
68.
Okay.
I'm going to try and guess at the first EVP, and I think that's quite early. I'm going to go, like, 15.
Okay, so is it 68, 15.
Mm-hmm.
15.
It's 15, really?
Yeah.
What the fuck? That was such a wild stab in the face. 15.
All of these.
15 was the first. Was the first.
Wow. I was like, episode about I've it. Gone too early.
55.
That's mental.
Number 55 was the experiment.
Oh,
so you weren't that far out of this.
I was pretty.
Wow. 13.
Far enough.
15. Wow.
Yeah, you're pretty bang on. Let's hope you get at least one wrong.
Well, we'll see. If I go for a clean sweep, that's something else. That's like Stukely Triangle. Right.
That'd be very
pulled triangle. Another coin out of the pudding. It's a ghostly apparition on a staircase.
So ghost sightings. Awful lot of ghost sightings.
First ghost story of the week.
Ghost story of the week.
Do we actually put it in?
If you want.
We haven't done it, so I'm putting
it in. Drop one in, and then we'll go back to...
Yeah, okay.
Sweet. Ghost story of the week.
What's the one that... Charlie's one.
Oh, yeah, I'm saving that back.
Okay.
So, once again, there are quite a few different stories throughout the documentary.
How many ghosts have been seen in the triangle?
I can't tell you exactly how many, but they're mainly seen Rehoboth. On the left,
down here,
there's been an unusual amount that people have been talking about.
So all the aliens are up in the north, but Rehoboth, ghost town USA.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the nigh angle. So this is the psi angle.
Mm.
Or
I would say that's north, east, west. That's angle. It's west, isn't it? Yeah.
Swy angle.
What's that? Southwest.
Yeah. North east. Yeah. Southwest.
Swiangle.
There's a lady who is like a ghost hunter. Her name is Luann Jolly.
I'd love if her name was Gunter.
Or Jolie, sorry. What? Gunter. Gunter.
Oh,
ghost hunter. Gunter.
Right. And she talks an awful lot about seeing apparitions, seeing orbs. We talked a lot about orbs.
Yeah. We haven't actually spoken that much about orbs.
I keep thinking
does
we do.
Does she see them or does she hunt them?
But she sees them when she's hunting them. Wow. So she's not hunting for them, but she sees them when she's out and about looking for...
So she's not a ghost hunter, she's just a ghost fucking happener. It happens to her.
Orbs is probably something we should talk about on something.
We've talked about it a bit, but not really enough. Like, the thing is, though, when I look at it, there is a section in this where they do talk about orbs, people seeing quite a lot of them.
Hmm.
But there's not really enough meat, really.
No, it's
for
not
it to
enough
be
for
like
a whole episode. You could do like a ghost scrap bag of stuff we've talked about of ghosts that we haven't covered before.
Yeah. But she has recently, on the documentary, she talks about one sighting. So I'll come on to, at the end of the episode, I'm going to tell you why people think there's so much activity, so much phenomena in such a, like, concentrated area.
Oh, okay.
But for now...
Is it the crystals of Atlantis underneath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a portal to Bermuda.
I would believe it. If that was the real one, I believe that's what people thought.
Yeah, people think it lost.
So she believes that she saw an apparition of Anaman, which was like an old native...
Animal man.
Anaman. A-N-A-M-A-N. And a man. Who
Adamantium.
Was like a native. He was Adamant. A native. he was a Native American.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, sorry, who's Anaman?
So Anaman was a Native Indian.
Isn't it racist to say Indian?
Is it?
Mm. Native American.
Well, we've said it on the show before, but I think that's racist, because they're not Indian.
Who is it?
They're American.
Yeah, like basically white people landed in America, saw them, was like, they're Indians.
Oh, really?
And then, because they had darker skin, and they're like, no, we're not.
Americans.
And now the Americans still like, yeah, Indians. They're like, no, we're Native Americans.
Yeah.
They still call them Indians and they fucking hate it. We're and Native. We've done it on the show before, so.
Okay, so natives.
Native Americans.
We'll just call them a Native American. Sorry if I've offended anyone.
Going in the outtake show, mate, don't worry.
I'd love to natives lived. Well, listened.
So that's Anaman. There's one that I want to talk about which interested me, because this is a number of sightings of beings of a red-headed hitchhiker.
Redhead?
A red-headed hitchhiker. Right. So
why is he a hitchhiker? What, he's sticking his thumb out?
Well, I'll tell you. So this occurs on Route 44.
Oh, when you say redhead, you mean ginger hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought like he just had a
redhead as in my hair. So
as in my hair.
So you should be able to pinpoint where these sightings happen. So if you look on your map,
right,
the redheaded hitchhiker of Route 44.
Oh,
so you can find him Route 44 near the Seagonk Rehoboth line.
It's probably this white line here.
Yeah, exactly, just down there in the corner.
Yeah.
So, this is one of the most popular and most notorious phantoms in Massachusetts. He walked along a dark stretch of road in the town of Rehoboth. For more than three decades, a red-headed man has been seen walking down Route 44, waiting to be picked up, thumbing out.
So long, isn't he?
At times he's been seen hitchhiking, and other times he's been seen walking into the woods or in the middle of the road, not moving as a car passes through him.
Oh, that's creepy.
At least once.
Imagine seeing a hitchhiker at the side of the road, but it's obviously like not real. But it's clearly a guy like hitchhiking.
Are you ready for this? At least once, my eyes are worrying because I'm creeped out. At least once he was seen outside the window of a car that was moving at more than 40 miles an hour.
Ooh, that is horrible.
At least once.
Several people have died along that stretch of road, including a man matching the phantom's description.
Including a red-headed man.
But no one can say for sure who the man is or when the haunting started.
Oh, that's horrible, man.
Most of the...
He's just, like, alongside you. Imagine driving at 40 miles an hour and you look and it's just a face there, but just constantly moving alongside you.
So, most of the encounters follow a similar pattern. Someone's driving along, usually alone, when they see a man in or alongside the road. They may either hit him or stop to pick him up. The hitchhiker will interact with the person and then eventually vanish before their eyes, or will no longer be there when they look to turn. Sorry, turn to look. This is followed by some type of audio finale where he laughs, yells at them, or taunts them.
What?
This is one incident. One woman reported stopping to pick the man up. He disappeared as he went to grab the door handle. Her car battery then died. And then she heard a man laughing at her, although he could no longer be seen. 10 minutes later, the car started, but not before the woman broke down in fright.
She's sitting there for 10 minutes after that happens.
Oh, my pants would be so brown.
And you can hear someone laughing. Fuck it, like, forget it.
Okay, you're right. Let me finish this off.
That's awful.
Okay, this gets much worse.
What?
Okay, one man had been driving alone when he saw the red-headed man on the side of the road. He stopped and called out to the man, who started to walk toward him. As he got closer, the ghost slowly faded until he completely disappeared. Another witness had the hitchhiker appear in the back seat of his car through the rear rearview mirror.
No.
The radio started to scan the stations and then became so loud it shook the car. The phantom disappeared and began to laugh on the radio.
That is fucking horrible. I'm glad that we're getting the ghosty ones out, like, not at the end.
I'm literally going to cry in a minute.
Local legend says that if three people are driving in the same car on Route 44, the red-headed hitchhiker will appear in the empty seat.
No, fuck off.
Freeloader.
And he's a hitchhiker. So that's the red-headed hitchhiker.
That is horrible.
Should we drive there?
Yeah.
Would you drive there?
Yeah. I would love to do Weird Tales Hits the US.
gets picked up by a hitchhiker.
We had one of our listeners suggested we try and go to the US.
I'd love to go to the
US. Go to Salem, which is go down to New Orleans voodoo.
I'd love it.
And we'll hit the Bridgewater Triangle.
Well, we've got to get this Patreon.
Area 51. Go to the Little Alien.
I love the Louis Theroux episode where he goes to the Little Alien. Yeah. So good. There is a clip of the redheaded hitchhiker in the documentary. There's not a picture of it. They dramatise it.
Right, okay.
It's not very creepy. Mm. So I thought reading it is more creepy.
Yeah, that was. I was like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it's horrible, right? So let's make it more. You know, let's get a better mood in here now. So we're talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
There are many more, but like, I'm looking at the time and thinking, God, we've been doing a lot already.
Yeah.
So either of you guys tell me, we've got two ghost story episodes.
Oh, volume one and two.
So you've got two choices here.
I have no idea.
But you've said that before.
Yeah, I know, but we really do just chuck these in, like, just whenever.
Yeah,
we
this
sit
is
down
random.
To record them. They're always just compilations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to go somewhere around 60.
Okay.
I was just thinking, like, if you encounter a ghost, I just close my eyes.
But what, if you're driving a car? Still. And if you're driving a car?
No, I progressed a little bit more.
Yeah, but imagine that. You close your eyes and tense up and you, like, shake your head.
Because you said there was a picture of him. Imagine if someone tried to get a selfie with him.
There wasn't a picture of him.
No, but imagine if someone did and then he just disappeared. Or imagine if you're in the woods.
Oh,
no, I don't want
to. I don't want footsteps coming towards you. Would you get up and run, or would you just stay there and close your eyes and just let whatever happen?
Like all the idiots do in the films.
Yeah, I wouldn't trip over
trip over a root and, you know,
I'd stay as still away. As I fucking could.
Really? But then what if you feel like a hand on your shoulder?
Then I'd just
die.
I'd just wait to die.
What kind of... just give up, roll just over and die.
Yeah.
What would you guys do if what's like to you what it would be in that situation from this redheaded hitchhiker? What would be like a creepy laugh? Would it have to be like a big booming laugh, or
not a booming laugh would be less scary to me.
Just like a horrible little
just
like
something really off kilter, like not you're not expecting anything that like plays with my expectations creeps me.
Like Pennywise.
I don't know. What episode number for Ghost Stories Volume 1 or 2?
So you what did you go with? 60?
60.
Yeah, 60.
58.
60. What is it? 59.
Both wrong.
What is it?
You could have had 41.
Right.
Or 68.
I got close. 58.
It's not 60. Bad.
I'll replace that 60.
Yeah, all right.
All right, we'll leave ourselves a point for that one.
Okay, so you're still 2-0.
Yes, this is going to give it.
No.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's hope you find like
something cheery.
I hope you find the one I'm thinking.
It's a ghost child.
Oh, it's it again.
No, it's the devil. Is that the devil? The devil.
Anti-Trump.
Okay, so this is quite an interesting one. This kind of combines two things that we've talked about before.
Demonic possession.
Yes. So I want to talk a little bit about the Pukwudgie.
That sounds like Sasquatch, some sort of cryptid.
Pukwudgie.
The Pukwudgie. So, the Pukwudgie is... It comes from Wampanoag folklore. It's a 2 to 3 foot tall being, and his features resemble those of a human, but with enlarged noses, fingers and ears. Their skin is described as being a smooth grey and at times has been known to glow.
Ugh,
in Native
like
American lore,
like sex pest.
Pukwudgies have the following traits and abilities. They can appear and disappear at will. They attack.
So they're like this big?
2 to 3 foot, like that tall, I guess.
Like Dobby, the house elf.
But taller, yeah.
Can appear and disappear as he wants.
Yeah. They attack people and lure them to their deaths.
Long nose.
They are able to use magic. They have poison arrows. They can create fire at will. I'm just going to show you a little clip, which combines Pukwudgie. So basically...
Is there a picture of a Pukwudgie?
Yeah, there is. There's like an artist depiction.
Oh, right. I'm a natural.
But because they are kind of known as demonic beings, really, because they're known to attack people and lure them to their deaths. So people have been seen to almost be like possessed by something, which we might use our language and say that's a demon possession. But the natives would call it a Pukwudgie.
I would call them Satan's little helpers.
Santa's little helper.
So I'm going to...
Santa, Satan.
Yeah.
He's kind of an artist depiction.
Elusive puckwudgies are said to roam the woods of the state forest. Puckwudgies are 3-foot-tall beings associated with Wampanoag folklore.
Puckwudgies were mischievous and caused the Wampanoags trouble, and everything that went wrong, it was because of the Puckwudgies. It predates the colonialization of the country. It predates even the kind of organizing of the Wampanoag tribe.
Scapegoat.
And then somewhere in the Wampanoags' history, they take this very weird twist where they go from being troublemakers to being labeled as evil. And then eventually, when they begin Christianizing the Wampanoags, being talked of as the foot soldiers of the devil.
Humanistic in their features, Puckwudgies possess enlarged noses, fingers and ears, and smooth gray skin. Puckwudgies are also said to have magical powers, including the ability to disappear and the ability to glow in the dark.
They control these bursts of light, which are called taipaiwunkas, which today we probably would refer to as orbs. But then they also seem to be controlled by this darker force, this almost shadow-like creature who seems to have control over them, or at least to be observing what they're doing. So I can always tell a Puckwudgie experience from something else because it has those different elements. They're never in isolation with each other.
Puckwudgie sightings in the Freetown State Forest share striking similarities with William Russo's unexplained creature encounter.
Coming back to this.
Christopher Bolzano's book Dark Woods features an eyewitness account from a woman named Joan who encountered an alleged Puckwudgie while walking her dog in the Freetown State Forest. Although William Russo's creature encounter took place 20 miles to the north of the Freetown State Forest in the Hockomock Swamp, some paranormal researchers are now wondering if Russo may have encountered a Puckwudgie. In May of 2008, a bizarre incident was caught on camera while filming a segment for Chris Balzano's book and DVD, Picture Yourself Ghost Hunting. The following clip features a woman named Maureen struggling with what some investigators claim was possession at the hands of a Puckwudgie.
Maureen! What's your book?
Ron, you're still connected here. Ron, watch her going back too far. Yeah.
Maureen?
Mom, Maureen, fighting.
Oh, come on, Maureen.
Don't let her go back too far, Ron.
Don't let her get in the water.
Yeah.
Maureen? Maureen.
Oh, shit.
Leave this fight. You need to leave this fight. It's not your own. Leave. Come here. Leave. Leave. I'm the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Leave this fight. Leave it. Leave it.
According to camera operator Andrew Lake, a strange light was later seen in the distance as Maureen recovered from the alleged attack.
That was fucking mental.
That was horrible, right?
It was like, when she started freaking out, I was like, oh yeah, but the noise. Yeah. The screeching noise. That was horrible as
that
well.
That wasn't very pleasant. I didn't like that very much at all.
That was like a cat coughing up a hairball.
It wasn't very nice, was it? It was. I don't want to sound like I'm kind of like riding on the coattails of that story, but that's very similar to noises that I've heard before.
I was going to say to you, when you've performed exorcisms, is that what you've done?
not quite like that. But I've witnessed that kind of like behaviour and physicality and the noises. But this is... I've actually paused. I won't show you guys because it's kind of pointless, but there are quite a lot of what people believe are Puckwudgie possessions by a place called The Ledge, which is in the forest.
The absolute ledge.
but the reason... not that kind of ledge. Such a muffin.
What a ledge. Puckwudgies don't seem that scary to me.
But that
possession, that was creepy.
Horrible.
That was creepy.
But that goes in the forest.
I like that he was like, let's make them lift the mood a little bit. Puckwudgie possession.
Doesn't sound very scary when you say it, does it?
Horrible.
And then it's like...
I'm not going to drive home today.
No, they're going to walk
he's
out
gonna
together.
He's going to put something in front at the end.
He better.
Well, that's why I wanted to have the history at the end. because it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. So yeah, the ledge is
absolute ledge.
It's basically just a cliff face, and so the reason they were trying to tell her, they were trying to like remind each other, don't let her go near the edge,
right?
Is because there's like a quite a huge drop.
Okay.
So they've had a number of drownings from people that have been possessed by the Pagwaji. Or
it's
a demon.
The name isn't scary.
That's a native word for it.
Them sort of words are never scary to me.
No, but squidgy, and so that's why they were telling her.
Pagwaji.
Pagwaji. It sounds kind of cute squidgy. when you say it, but it doesn't look very cute.
Bomb wedgie.
Shawaddy waddy.
So when do you guys think we've talked about demons?
Every day.
There's only been one time.
You guess first because you pulled out the thing.
Oh. Remember? Yeah.
I'm getting ready to like put down the mark for me because I reckon demons. I know dead on.
Demons. When did we talk about demon possession?
37.
That's your guess?
The total guess.
Okay.
How many times have we talked about it? Just once?
Once.
Yeah, it was really early on.
Mm-hmm.
It was episode number 9.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I always like put things together. Yeah. Do you know how I know that?
Yeah.
Because I remember it was a really long episode because we got really in depth on it, and the same day we recorded the first discussion episode, which was also really long. So we spent 4 hours recording. That's why I remember that.
Bob is like,
and I remember discussion was number 10 because it's like, oh, number 10 our first discussion episode.
Have you seen Pointless?
Yeah.
When they got the guy on the laptop, he's like, yeah, and you could have had this and loads of information. Yeah, like that.
But I haven't got a laptop.
You just know it.
I ain't got a laptop.
I knew that one because of this.
Yeah, my brain makes connections. I guess
in a way I didn't really think about this being like an unfair contest, and it's and it's probably unfair because you do all the editing, so you probably remember like a clear idea.
I also do the website.
It's a good thing that the first day is Monday. For us, I'd feel really bad.
I don't know how we can make it fair. I wonder if like the next one.
No, let's just make it as it is.
The next one just gets 1,000 points.
I'm not that convinced. I'll never get it.
Okay, so
stations.
I could put you two up against on this sort of thing.
Three more.
I would. This is like
this is my go, isn't it? It's my pick.
Oh, is it?
It's my pick. Wait, get your fingers off. That's mine.
What was the other one?
Oh yes, my man.
What have you got?
The Mothman.
Awesome.
What episode now? Quick, because you know.
Do you want to do it now?
41.
Do you want to do it now?
41.
You've gone 41 for Mothman.
I'm not going.
You're not going to.
He gets them all.
Okay, no, it's 35, mate.
Oh, I was going to guess 35 as well. I get a point.
No, you weren't.
I'll give you half a point. Next one was 1,000, so that's 500 points, please.
I'll give you half a point.
Half a thousand.
So
is it actually Mothman or just cryptids?
So Mothman was was spotted in Taunton.
Was he possessed by a Pagwaji?
Possessed by a Mothwaji.
So we're going to watch a clip which tells us there's someone giving
great
us their account.
Mothman. Yeah, it's great.
Just giving us their account basically of what they saw. It doesn't give the name Mothman to what they saw originally, but then they kind of say, oh, kind of like the Mothman.
Oh, right, okay.
So, but it's kind of interesting. I don't really know what it would be if it isn't Mothman.
A mysterious
creature. But it's very mysterious. So
the music.
Gigantic raptors, sometimes known as thunderbirds, have reportedly been spotted in the skies above the swamp and its surrounding communities.
Thunderbirds are go.
In 1971, Norton Police Sergeant Thomas Downey claimed to have seen a large bird with a 12-foot wingspan while traveling along Winter Street in nearby Mansfield, a town just west of the Bridgewater Triangle and the Hockomock Swamp.
Officer Downey had been coming along the road, and he saw this creature, 6 feet tall or so, large wings, slowly just lifted right into the air. And this was an intriguing sighting because it overlapped with a lot of reports that we were hearing about Mothman, about Thunderbirds.
Ironically, Downey's sighting occurred in an area known as Bird Hill.
I was confused if the Bird Hill was named because of his sighting, or that had always been called Bird Hill. Certainly Officer Downey being placed in the middle of having an encounter there just reinforced for me the strangeness of the Bridgewater Triangle.
In the years following his initial report, Downey refused multiple requests for interviews concerning his encounter. Enormous snakes, uncommon to the northeastern United States.
I might get Mothman tattooed.
I was thinking of getting a Mothman tattoo for episode 100. That was my second choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your first choice?
I was just going to get some sort of... but my other things, I was thinking of maybe getting some sort of underwater creature, like a squid or something, or Mothman.
I still am in my mind up.
Still up in
the making my mind up.
You can just get WTATU with a little halo above it.
yeah, could do, yeah. So Mothman / Thunderbird.
It sounded just like a big bird to me.
Yeah, I was thinking about that though. 12-foot wingspan.
That's big.
That's. I'm just thinking the width of your ceiling is. Like half a double decker bus.
Wasn't it 15 foot?
Yeah.
So actually, yes, yeah, so
15 or 16 foot for double decker bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So nearly a double decker.
Nearly a double decker bus
in wingspan. And he described it like standing in the road and then slowly taking off. Other people would liken it more to a pterodactyl, so like with a pointy arrow-shaped head,
mm-hmm.
And like not like bat-like, like skin rather than.
See, when you said standing in the road that big, I would have said bus, but then the flying off part doesn't match up.
Winged bus.
With buses that I've seen.
Yeah. So. There's not many others in the documentary itself, but if you go online, all you have to do is Google Mothman and the name of the place, which is the Freetown Fall River State Forest. And there's dozens of stuff out there. There's dozens of sightings. It's they're all quite similar.
Well, that one was near the swamp.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It was near Norton.
Yeah, but there are. There are a couple more.
Mm.
So that's Mothman.
Mothy.
Mothman. If you are listening and you've not done our back catalogue, then why not?
Yeah, Mothman's one of my faves, so get back on that one.
Go back and listen to episode 35. We've talked a lot about UFOs and aliens and stuff, but Mothman.
Speaking of Mothman,
go on.
What did you do if you've got a bit of a tickly throat?
Cough, man. That's terrible. Mothman, my favourite cryptid. So there you go. Tis, you haven't done yours. We did cryptology, and then I did my favourite cryptid. Beef did his favourite cryptid.
Which was what?
The Yeti.
What do you mean?
You came off at the end of that really believing in the Yeti.
Wow.
You've got to choose your favourite cryptid and teach us about it.
Cool.
How many more have we got left?
Two more.
Oh, okay. Oh, is Harry?
Harry and the Hens.
It's Harry.
It's the fourth Weird Tales member.
Is this where it was filmed?
I don't know. I think that's just filmed.
We haven't talked about it.
I don't know. So this...
It's Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot, but it does pertain to cryptids, and there's been an awful lot of different types of cryptids, and it's not just Bigfoot. There's quite a lot at the start of the documentary. There's quite a lot of talk and different people giving different accounts.
And there's like giant snakes, isn't there?
Yeah, as you heard, there's giant snakes as well. But there wasn't really like a modern day account of giant snakes. It was like legend and folklore, right. So it wasn't really
mythology.
There's a couple. There's talk of apes. There's a little island in the middle of the lake where people. This is why I didn't really want to talk about
skunk ape things.
But they had like red, orange. Fur.
Oh, like
an orangutan.
Like Dr. Sayers. Do you remember skunk apes?
Yeah.
We were all over there.
Was it swamp apes?
Well, we called them skunk apes or swamp apes. They're both called both.
Swamp apes. Same thing. Cool.
They were fucking awesome.
But they like orangutan, so I didn't really want to talk about it too much because I was like, there's a slim chance, but there's a chance that people are just seeing orangutans in the forest.
Yeah, but would orangutans be there?
I don't know.
No.
Right.
There's like orangutans in America, is there?
People like always...
In zoos.
Oh, escaped.
The other cryptids
The
other cryptids that people are seeing are big cats.
Yeah. Always big cats.
But lots of people, lots of skeptics are saying it's going to be a lynx or a mountain lion or something like that.
Just a big cat.
Dogs as well. There's quite old legends of... old legend of a dog with glowing red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Tearing a pony to shreds and like ripping into its corpse.
Handle the Baskervilles.
Like exactly.
Share and tear garlic bread.
Yeah, why not? You could
or
say
a
that.
Share and tear human head.
I bet to them, like us having garlic breads, like them having human head.
Mm.
Kind of rhymes nearly as well. Human head, garlic bread.
So I just want to draw our attention to one cryptid though, just because it. This kind of made me laugh a bit, if I'm honest.
Is it skunk apes?
Well, it comes back to the picture that we saw when we were talking about puckwudgies. Did you see the...
Oh, yeah, the little hairy man.
Yeah, so we're going to look at that a bit more, and we're going to listen to this guy who gives us his account of the...
It looked like a little monkey.
Details. Yeah, that's it.
...in the Hockomock Swamp occurred in 1919. Former Raynham resident William Russo will never forget his amazing up-close-and-personal encounter.
Back in the late 1980s, to about the mid-1990s, I was working a 3 to midnight shift in the town of Raynham where I lived. And that's where my strange happening occurred. When I got off work every night at midnight, I'd walk my dog, Samantha. She was a Rottweiler Shepherd mix, big, around 90 pounds. Now, usually we walked on the sidewalks towards the center of town. But in this particular night, we walked a different route. I don't really know why, but we did. Right behind my house is an area we call the High Tees, claimed by the electric company. They run those high-tension wires. It's about 50 feet across and overgrown with 100-foot pines.
Oh, get to it,
so
Russo.
It's kind of like a route for kids who want to take shortcuts and who knows what kind of wildlife during the day and at night, maybe stranger things. I went perhaps a half a mile when I came to old... water wheel that ran an early ironworks back a couple of hundred years ago. And there's a street light at this road, and the street light casts a big circle of light right in the middle of the street, about a 10-foot radius. So as I approached the road, all of a sudden Sammy, my dog, started to pull at the leash, and I looked down and she was quivering, she was shaking, she was rattling like an old Chevy. And then a few moments later,
I
heard what was scaring the dog. It was a high-pitched, almost a wail, and it went like this. It went, "I want you, care, care, I want you." Now the hairs on my back of my neck started to go up, and Sammy, of course, she was just absolutely in terror, and suddenly, I saw something walk. It was erect, standing straight up. It walked
excited, was it?
of that circle of light
so childish.
That was cast by the street lamp. It was about 3 or 4 feet tall. It had a pot belly. And as I walked a little closer, I saw that it wasn't clothed. It had hair that was maybe 3-4 inches long, totally covered in hair. It had eyes that were perhaps a little big for its head, but not hugely disproportionate. The face perhaps looked like the chipmunk. At first I thought it was a child, but as I analyzed it, I thought it was in the beginning stages of old age. I don't think it was young. Whatever it wasn't young. But it was speaking. I mean, it definitely speaking, and it kept saying, "I want you, I want you," got more insistent, and it started beckoning me. "Care, care, I want you." It wasn't threatening me, but what was weird, it wasn't advancing to me. It didn't come near me. It wanted to get me in its space. This is what I felt like. I wish I could say that I was brave enough to go right up and, you know, get that close from it, but I couldn't. I was scared. And my Sammy, Samantha, was scared, so we turned around and we walked home pretty fast. And I stayed up the whole night analyzing, what could this be? What could this be?
That's enough from Russo.
He just got off, he just turned around and walked away.
Yeah, bloody.
If it was a Pokemon, I know what it'd be called.
Iwanchu. Iwanchu.
Let's call that cryptid Iwanchu.
Yeah. He didn't give it a name.
I don't believe a word of that.
I think it's an alien.
Yeah, could be.
You never hear of a hairy alien.
No, but I bet there are some.
Such a bold statement.
I bet there are some.
I bet there are. You never hear of a hairy alien?
No, that's true.
Always like smooth or lizard skin or whatever.
Yeah, or like really skinny and scrawny. Yeah, yeah.
Or like the royal family and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of E12. I think it's a load of old paddywhack. That's one. I didn't really want to go into Bigfoot or anything like that. You can do if you want to watch the documentary.
You can do.
If you want. I'm not, and I know there's loads and loads of Bigfoot fans out there, so, oh my god. Sorry, Becca just walked past the window and I...
You thought E12.
Yeah, E12.
Key.
That's just like the shittiest ghost in the world.
It's like, Grandma, what are you playing? Are you winning? Ooh, spooky in here. Get out, Grandma.
What?
So E12. Yeah. If you want to look at the Bigfoot stuff, watch the documentary. It's good stuff, but we've talked about Bigfoot a lot, and that's one that we've not talked about E12 before.
How do we get our points? Cryptozoology?
Or
Yeti?
There's two cryptids that you can pick from. So I would include the Yeti episode because it's a cryptid. Or the original cryptid episode. Right, Tiss, what's your cryptid guess?
50. No, nowhere near 50.
Give me the Yeti one or the cryptozoology one.
Cryptid was quite 40. Early. 40.
I'm going to go for 11 for cryptozoology.
I'm going to give you both points on that.
Right.
Because you were right with 11. But the Yeti was 39.
Oh,
so I'm going to give Tiss a point for that.
I wouldn't have known the Yeti one. Boom.
Final thing that I wanted to talk about, I'm just going to draw it because it was number 7. And we've got to go quickly. It's a picture of cult, some kind of ritual.
Tiss, you need
cult
to go back
stuff
into
going
cults.
On.
Oh, cults.
So there's quite a lot.
Picture of a load of old cults, right?
So I just want to talk a little bit about some of the satanic cults that take place around 1970, 1980. I'm just using one case.
Is this in the graveyard?
No. So this is located at Fall River. And I'm talking specifically about one guy called Carl Drew.
Right.
He was a pimp.
Yeah.
He was an occultist who organised his stable as a satanic coven, and he sacrificed young women who displeased him.
Can I use PIMP as the outro music this
time? Yes, please, yeah. Definitely. Yes. Yes.
I don't know what you heard about me.
There's so much satanic cult stuff in the documentary. There's an awful lot, which is why there's no video, because there's quite a large chunk towards the end. Go and watch the documentary.
Go watch it.
But this is... I've taken Carl Drew because they focus on him quite a lot. There's quite a lot of weird stuff that...
Do they do all this rituals and stuff because of all the weird stuff in this triangle?
Well, people, when they walk into this area, so you'll see on the in the documentary, they talk about walking near and around Fall River. There's like a foresty area, and people often feel like really like drained and heavy and oppressed, and like there's a heavy negative atmosphere people talk about. And there's one guy who was walking along one day, I think he was just walking through the woods, and discovered an underground bunker.
Ooh.
Which was like covered with blue tarpaulin.
Right.
And they were like, what's going on here? So they walked through, went into the underground bunker, and there was like dolls with their heads missing.
Ooh.
There was like children's clothes.
Ooh.
A little like chair that had been made that would almost have like a 2-year-old sitting on it.
Ooh.
Just like loads of weird stuff. No like specific evidence of child abduction. But there was a lot of stuff, and it's kind of been dubbed Carl Drew's Shack. And he was a part of what's been called the Fall River Cult.
Right.
There's a bunch of occultists, and he was a pimp and self-styled Satanist. He used the trippings of his twisted religion to keep prostitutes in line, compelling their participation in cult rituals and threatening savage violence if they tried to reject his protection. Right. At his murder trial, several witnesses described Drew's role in a series of ritual gatherings held between October 79 and February 80, Declaring himself to be Satan, Drew would reportedly chant and pray in a different language, leading his flock through the grisly steps of human sacrifice on at least two occasions. This guy's so bad, even the Church of Satan are like, we don't do rituals. Us. We are not anything. This is like me saying, Westboro Baptist Church, no, I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
Like, they are not having any of it. His first victim was Donna Levesque of Fall River. Her mutilated body was discovered on October 13th, 1979. Witnesses to that ritual murder included prostitutes Karen Marsden and Robin Murphy. Whilst Murphy was able to tolerate the sadistic violence gradually moving from the role, so these are guys who were kind of in and amongst the cult, I guess. These guys kind of disowned him a bit because he was taking it a bit too far, yeah. I guess. And there's quite a lot of other information. So just skimming, when they found her body, there were scraps of clothing in the woods, but then they found bone fragments. And then this is something... So from what it looks like, he had three victims, and all three victims, they had the same thing. All their skulls were crushed.
Oh.
It's like their skulls have been like repeatedly bashed in with a rock or something like that. So let's have a look. So this is one of his victims was sacrificed at a cult gathering outside Westport. He tortured her by having her hair and fingernails ripped out and beaten over the head with stones before Drew manually snapped her neck.
Manually?
Unsatisfied, the pimp persuaded Robin Murphy to slash Marsden's throat, who is another prostitute, after which he removed her head and the cultist kicked it around like a football.
Oh my God.
Marsden's fingers were locked off in an effort to steal her rings, and Drew finished... Oh, okay. Sorry about this. This is a bit graphic. Drew finished by raping the headless corpse.
Oh my fucking God.
It's not nice.
How do you get it up when you're looking at a headless corpse?
Oh, how do you get it up after killing someone?
Well, that's the testosterone, isn't it?
Is it?
Like, I know. Come on, mate. It's testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
After slashing.
And there's other information, but I don't really want to go into it, to be honest. It's not very nice.
Right cult.
He does sound like a right cult. yeah, bleep.
I'm gonna bleep.
Yeah, I know. So that kind of concludes our little whistle stop tour of seven different types of phenomena which are found within the Bridgewater Triangle.
I really enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Seven types of phenomena. Seven types of phenomena.
I really enjoyed it.
Seven types of phenomena.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beginning of the episode. Start with that.
So to finish this off then, so twice we've talked about cults in episodes previously. Tis, give me a guess.
Two?
What
no. One? I'm saying...
Who did Manson Family? What was the other cult?
I'm saying 35. No, 36.
You're going 36. Yeah. So we talked about Manson Family.
Yeah.
We also talked about a couple of cults in...
Oh, serial killers. 16.
Yeah, you win. You win anyway. It was 17 and 60.
What did he say?
It doesn't matter. He got it wrong. He quite
so
well
it was 5 to 1.5. Bobby Tiss.
Yeah.
You have to quickly tell us why this stuff happens in the triangle.
Because we're really, really running short on time, I'll just give you a little snippet. So basically, a lot of people would relate this to something called King Philip's War. So it was an armed conflict between American Indian inhabitants.
Reptilians.
Oh, an ancient Indian burial ground.
Basically, they liken it to ancient Indian curses being placed in the area.
Ancient Indian burial ground.
Because the English were being bastards and coming in to try and conquer them.
Always.
And they did conquer them, but it meant that the surviving native inhabitants allegedly placed curses around the area.
So you if you want,
tell me
it was built
on
at.
An Indian burial ground.
So if you want to discover
Hell
more,
you didn't.
If you're listening, and you want to discover more, you can go to history.com and search King Philip's War. There'll be tons more information, but we haven't got any more time. Bob, wrap us up.
We've got to wrap up some stuff. Okay, listener of the week.
Yep.
Okay. I want to give it to. Oh, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong. Kaza, is it Kaza?
Yeah.
See you later, guys.
He's actually going.
Love you all. I've got to go.
Leaving.
I actually have
yeah,
got to
no,
go.
Mate, we know. We've been trying
That's
to tell
we've
you.
We've been trying to wrap up.
I know.
We've been doing this for like 10 minutes.
I'm going to my car.
See you guys in a bit.
Bye, Tess. Right. He's gone. Finally. We can outro. We can actually do the outro.
Let's do it.
Listener of the week.
Kaza.
I think it's pronounced Kaza.
I think so.
I'll have to redo it if I got it wrong.
I'm really sorry.
She's a new listener. She discovered the show. She's been really active on Twitter and stuff and on Facebook. And she even promoted us on her Facebook page. And it got us loads of new listeners and Facebook likes and stuff. Which we really appreciate. She basically does like LARPing or live action role play stuff, and she has her own Patreon. So if you're into that stuff, go find her on there. LARP Girl is her like handle on Facebook and on Patreon and stuff. She does like role play videos and stuff. But she's been really active on Twitter, really great, and she got us loads of new people to check out the show. And she's also a patron. So, you know, win.
Win. Win a chicken dinner.
Listen of the week, LARP Girl.
We know you know who you are. Thank you very much for listening and for joining us.
And Anthony Anderson, who bought us some beers last week.
Yeah.
And then was upset we didn't give him Listener of the Week, saying, what do I have to do to get Listener of the Week? Listener of the Week is very coveted, Anthony. And because you asked, you're not Listener of the Week this week.
Right, but we liked your beer.
Yeah, we did neck your beer.
Such assholes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Anthony. Other thing I wanted to get out of the way is the Patreon. We haven't put any rewards or anything on there yet. I'm really animated.
Why is all the jazz hands?
I don't know, really. We haven't put any rewards or anything on there yet. So the people who have become patrons just on the goodwill of donating money, there's only a small handful of you at the moment. We really appreciate that. And we're considering putting in, if you're a patron, when I edit the show, basically we record for maybe like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and the episodes are normally like an hour and 10. So there is some cut content. It's always off-topic nonsense, which is why I don't keep it in. But if you want to hear that shit unedited, I'm just going to chuck it onto the Patreon page soon. That's going to start doing that maybe from this episode or next episode on. You're going to get these like 10 minutes of off-topic nonsense if you want it. Also, we're looking into getting some physical rewards ordered up and sent out to patrons in limited quantities. So if you become a patron, you've missed out on the stuff that has gone before you joined.
Yeah.
Basically, and as little as $1 a month really helps to make a difference. If you just want to give it out of the goodness of your heart, it really helps pay for audio equipment, web hosting, things for special episodes, tattoos, the tat fund, if you want to get ridiculous for episode 100, all that stuff. That's the stuff I needed to get out of the way.
Awesome.
Use your wrap-up stuff, weirdtales and unexplainable.com.
Yeah.
If you go on that, you can find our Twitter, Facebook, contact details, the blog, all the updated links for every episode, all the stuff that we've talked about today. If you want that in one easy place to find the information, it'll be on the website.
Correct.
And if you want to contact us directly, unexplainableuk@mail.com. Whew.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Bob.
That's all right.
So until next time, have a phenomenal week.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
That's really good.
Awesome.
Seven kinds of phenomena.
Seven types of phenomena. do I press stop? You do. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you heard about me. Put a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking B.I.M.B. I don't know what you heard about me. Put a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Oh, an ancient Indian burial ground.
Is it?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.